You're listening to Civic Media. You can tune into any of our live shows on any radio station across the state with the Civic Media app. Find us in your phone's app store and listen anytime, anywhere.
Live across Wisconsin on Civic Media, you're listening to Mornings with Pat Kreitlow, powered by Up North News. Now, from our Lake Wissota studio, here is the founding editor of Up North News, Pat Kreitlow.
It is 8:06 on this Monday morning, August 4th. It is nice to have you back here up north, live from Lake Wissota and all across the state. Parker Olson is normally producing this shindig. Instead, Parker's taking an extended weekend. We know because he's heckling us in the comment sections on YouTube. But Dom is sitting in in his place over in Studio A1. Although, what is the correct term there? The studio's A1, but the control rooms have like some other designation, right?
I'm too new. I don't even know. I honestly don't even know. I wish I.
Okay. Yeah. That's okay. You weren't told there would be a pop quiz here, so we'll let you go with that. But Dom's here pinch hitting. Meteorologist Brittany Merlot is here, and of course John and Gordy from their Civic Media morning show, 6 to 8 in the Madison area, or catch it on the Civic Media app. So, Brittany, let's just get going with you, because this is, am I right that this is going to be one of the cooler, not cooler, but this will be, it's going to get warmer from here.
Yeah, pretty much.
We got to warm up throughout the course of the week.
But yes, less, we are.
So higher temperatures, less smoke, right?
Yes, that's the plan. Let's hope it sticks to that. It's going to get sticky, right?
Okay. As sticky as a Pat Murphy pocket pancake? I mean, because that's what I'm hearing from Alicia's. She's envisioning that sticky pockets, that poor equipment manager who's got to deal with Murphy's pocket pancakes. I don't know that he puts syrup on it, though. I wouldn't do that. I'm getting no support for the pocket pancake.
Not in your pocket anyway.
please Brittany, continue with the sticky weather. Okay. You were saying.
Okay. So a little bit like syrup, that's what we're going to be feeling like later on this week and into the weekend. Sticky. But until then, still battling some of that wildfire smoke and haze still lingering, and air quality alert obviously still in effect until noon today. It might get extended one more day for parts of the state because the high pressure system is still here. It's only moved over a little bit towards Michigan, but it has taken some of that wildfire smoke and moved it off more towards the eastern parts of the Great Lakes. But it is still unhealthy in towards Milwaukee, the Fox Valley, even into Madison right now. A little bit of relief far northwest where it's not too bad, more at a moderate level. So as we go through the afternoon, high pressure still here, clear skies, besides the haze and the smoke filled out there. On occasion, you could see it burn off a little bit. Highs will hit the upper 70s to scraping the low 80s today. So very comfortable. Humidity staying tame. It starts to increase by Wednesday. We'll start to feel pretty muggy on Wednesday, becoming humid on Thursday, and those temperatures hitting near 90 degrees as we go into the weekend. So yes, that is returning, but still staying comfortable up until today, tomorrow, and we'll really start to feel that midweek. But patchy dense fog still possible in places this morning, again overnight tonight and tomorrow morning. A lot of sunshine south today and a few more clouds hanging around up north today.
Does the increase in temperatures bring back like any shot at like thunderstorms, things like that?
Oh, yeah. I wasn't trying to depress everybody, though.
Oh, no. It's okay. We are noticing we've loved this nice spell of weather, but you're starting to see that in the lawns and things going, all right, a little rain wouldn't be the worst thing, you know.
Yeah, it looks like by Wednesday night, we should get some of that Thursday, Friday, into the weekend, too.
All right, Brittany, thank you very much. Appreciate it.
Great.
Yes, you're welcome.
All right. Hey, remember, if you miss an episode of this show, you can always catch it as a podcast. Head over to Spotify or Apple, wherever you get your podcast. You can also listen through the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us. But we'd love to have you as a follower for this show and all of the fine Civic Media shows that certainly include John and Gordy down there at WMDX in Madison. Guys, how are you this morning?
We're good.
Doing all right. Yeah. How are you, Pat?
Pretty good here. It was a very busy weekend, but it was just all around the house. So partly productive, partly relaxing. Folks who missed it earlier, I've already confessed to not forgetting to take my AirPods out of my pocket until I heard all this banging from the dryer as I was trying to fall asleep last night. I finally get up and I'm, what is that noise? And, yeah. you know, you know, it's like, is it you know, from jeans, you know, sometimes the buttons, the buckles and things like that. Right. And I go, and I see the AirPod case, and then I see the left AirPod, and then I see the right AirPod. I know they've gone through the washer.
Yeah.
I'm like, this can't be good. But I just tried them during the news, and holy cow, AirPods. They can go through a washing machine.
That's amazing.
And still work just fine.
So the case, does the case charge those?
The case charges them.
Okay.
Yeah,
and that still nice works too, right?
Green light on it. Still holds the charge.
Can't believe it. Apple doesn't stand up well to anything, but okay, I'll go with that. I'm not a big fan of Apple's, so.
I joined the cult a long time ago, and now I'm kind of trapped in it. I mean, I've seen I've seen like people's Galaxy phones and others, and I've been jealous. But I'm like, well, I got all. If I change the one, I got to change them all.
See,
that's how they get you.
I have that Galaxy right here. If you're on, if you're watching,
look at that.
I have the Fold. Yes, I do. So
those fold screens, they really work?
They really do work. There is one problem with them, though. The screen protector doesn't last as long as the actual screen that comes with the phone. That's the sad part. So eventually, in about a year, I'll peel that thing off, and I won't have the protector on anymore. You can take it someplace and have another one put on, but that costs a little bit of money. Can't do it.
All these things cost little bit of money now.
That's true.
Yeah. What'd you guys do over the weekend?
Well, let's see.
I was watering plants because you brought it up with Brittany. You know, it is starting to get dry again. You know, if you get a new tree, they need constant watering to establish those roots. So that's what I was doing. Man, the neighbors were asking me questions. They just love my work out in the yard.
I just appreciate that work ethic.
Yeah.
And the other thing that started up this weekend, I haven't gone to any of these shows yet, but it's Madison Comedy Week here. So there are something like 80 to 90 to maybe 100 comedians roaming around Madison, going to 9 different venues and performing for the folks. And our producer, Dom, went to a big comedy show. Nate Bergotsky was at the Alliance Center.
Yeah.
In fact, he did 2 shows there. You went there, right?
I went to the first one, and he's a big name. Honestly, I didn't even know about him. I went with my parents, and he was awesome. He was awesome. He talked about comedy on State, and I was like, hey, we're right above there. You
That's
know,
where
I
our studio
felt like
is,
I should have got up and, you know,
you
pronounced
up
my name and everything. So
should have done that.
Nate Bergotsky is like selling out arenas.
If everybody's familiar with him, I mean, he's done a Saturday Night Live bit a couple of times now, playing George Washington, creating words
crossing the
for
baton.
Americans. Yeah.
Talking about how we'll have a system of measuring things.
Yes.
And it'll be called miles. You know, all the weird quirks that we have here.
That is great stuff. Yeah.
And he's a funny guy, and he's just from all reports, a genuinely nice person as well.
Yeah.
Which you don't see enough of there. So, Dom, you said you were not familiar with him, but
Now I definitely am, and my parents definitely put me on the Nate Bergotsky train, because now I'm going to be listening to him all the time now.
I think he's got a bunch of specials on Netflix, if I'm not mistaken.
Yes. Yeah.
We watched one where his daughter went up on stage and introduced him. That was very cute, actually. It was really neat.
I think it's just great that here's a parent turning on their adult child to something cultural.
Yeah.
The other way around. Yeah. Like, you know, mom, dad, can you put down Lawrence Welk long enough to listen to some of this modern music? And instead we're schooling them. So that's good.
Well,
you knew
that he wasn't going to swear very much because his daughter's very young and she went up on stage. So it was a great concert. And by the way, you know, you got to see this guy. He's really good.
He's very, very funny.
Yeah.
And clean.
And he works clean, which is always great. It's like there's always like the next one that works clean. Like Jim Gaffigan comes to mind.
Yes.
Yeah.
You know, when he got big, and again, just doesn't have to go down that road at all. Mm-hmm. Again, plenty of people do, and it works for them. But if you can find that lane, you can get mainstream appeal in no time.
Yeah.
If you're funny, you know.
Well.
So this Madison Comedy Fest, is it for any kind of a benefit, or is it just a case of all the comedy clubs get together and this is a great little?
Yeah, I think it's that second option. Yeah, I think it's just
promotion.
Mainly for the comedians and promote some of the venues. And, you know, we're like Dom mentioned, we're 2 floors above Comedy on State, which is the comedy club that's been here, I think, the longest in Madison. But there are several other venues around, and I think they do this every year, and there's some sort of competitive thing going on with it as well. I don't know how that all works, but
you've been doing Madison local radio here for what, 75 years now?
Yes.
So have you have you had comedians on the show? And it, because I haven't, and it strikes me as one of those things where they feel like they have to do it, but that's not their body clock, and so they're not necessarily at their best, or conversely, they're great. Have you had comedians on your shows in the past?
We have. It's tough. It's not really in their wheelhouse. It's the time of day, and then there's no real live audience to work.
Yeah, we're not live. Yeah. So
it's a tough venue for them.
I think. A little older.
Now we have had them on, and we've played some of their clips. If they've got a CD or something like that, we'll do some of that. But usually it's. It's not the greatest thing for them.
We've had Mike Mercury on a few times way back in the past, very local. And this morning, first thing, we invited any roving comedian to stop in on the show and do their thing. Yeah. But we haven't gotten anybody knocking at the door. Yeah. So
they're not awake at 6 a.m.
You said there's like 80,000 of them walking around the city here.
Yeah.
Look, if anybody that does specialize in early morning comedy, I mean, they've got a gig at a radio station. You may as well get paid for it.
Right, yeah, that's right.
And and do it that way. Whereas comics wandering off the street, that's very brave of you. I don't know that I could do that. And say, sure, anybody that wants to just stumble in, we'll give you a microphone. That usually describes like a hostage situation or something like that. But
a lot of times it seems like that.
Well, the other good thing about today is that it's National Chocolate Chip Cookie Day.
And what do you got there?
Yeah, our receptionist, Megan, brought these cookies in at the last minute, right before the show ended. So, we've got something to look forward to here for the rest of the day.
When I first saw those, I thought, are those from Insomnia Cookie just down State Street from you guys? Have you ever been to Insomnia Cookies?
No, it's from the Metro Market.
Those are good too. Don't get me wrong, but Insomnia Cookies, it's a national franchise, and it's you'll find it in college towns. They specialize in, they're like the Domino's Pizza of chocolate chip cookies. They will deliver freshly baked cookies.
I did not know that. That's
delicious. Or you can go
to
their store and get them, and I mean, freshly baked cookies.
Yes.
Is it possible to have a bad one? I just don't know.
I don't think so.
Every time I'm down there, I have to wander down and get that. And of course, you think you're just going to get a chocolate chip cookie because it's National Chocolate Chip Cookie Day. But oh no, you got to get. I end up with one of everything.
I know.
And then I get home, Sherry's like, "What'd you bring?" I'm like, "Well, honey, it was a 200-mile drive. It's 3 hours." And
just say they were day-old cookies and you got a good deal.
Yeah, you wouldn't have liked them. You wouldn't understand. We're talking with John and Gordy from our Madison station, WMDX. Catch them weekdays 6 to 8, either in the Madison area or on the Civic Media app. A local update is next for some of you. And others will continue to talk about our weekends and week plans and what John and Gordy have planned for their shows as well. But first, a quick note for you about the weekend with the Milwaukee Brewers, in case you missed it. I mean, it just wasn't even fair what these guys did to the Washington Nationals over the weekend. 16-9 on Friday, 8-2 on Saturday, 14-3 yesterday. So they still have far and away the best record in baseball. And now they're on their way to Atlanta, playing Atlanta starting at 5:40, the pregame. Tonight, tomorrow, and Wednesday evening on several stations across the Civic Media Radio Network. I'm Pat Kreitlow. You're up north.
You're listening to Civic Media. Stay up to date on the latest news and information for your local community and Wisconsin by signing up for our free email newsletter. Visit civicmedia.us/email to get started.
News is a separate entity from Civic Media, but gosh, how we love this partnership. Weekday mornings from 6 to 9 a.m. And Up North News is part of Courier Newsroom. outlets in several states, newsletters, podcasts, video products, and of course our own daily newsletter. Sign up for it at upnorthnewswi.com. Click subscribe in the top banner. There's also a Sunday morning Wisconsin politics newsletter that I put together. And the question of the week this week in our Sunday newsletter is whether blue states should retaliate when red states like Texas continue to gerrymander their maps. Texas lawmakers met last week in a special session, not to take care of flood relief victims. Oh, no, that'll come later. First, it was Donald Trump told them to gerrymander the map and add five more Republican congressional districts. So they did. Or at least they're in the process of it. Some of the Democratic legislators are going to leave the state for a while to call attention to this. But California and other places are saying, well, you know, two can play at that game and they'll add five Democratic seats. My question of the week is that what they should do? Should blue states, you know, engage in gerrymandering to offset that? Or, you know, two wrongs don't make a right and don't sink to that level. People have very strong opinions on this, and they are responding to the Sunday newsletter, or you can send us an email as well. But again, subscribe to the newsletter, upnorthnewswi.com. John and Gordy and Dom all with us now from Studio A1 down there in Madison. And
well, I'm gonna sink to that level.
Okay,
and, sink away. And promote gerrymandering in the Democratic states. I mean, we tried to take that high road. A lot of people, you know, passed these separate commissions in order to do the redistricting, and that was all fine and good. And we look good, but now we're getting killed after doing something like that. And with this kind of plan, we never thought this would ever happen. A president would direct a state to redistrict in the middle of the 10-year process, and then take the advantage in Congress and do this to a number of states and maybe even take out 15 Democrats, that would lock in a minority, basically, in Congress, and they would have control of the country while Trump is in control. That's a very scary prospect. Really scary.
It makes sense. Again, on its face, it is, as I like to say, corrupt cartography.
Yes.
I finally get to use a word that I haven't used in 30 years. But you would not normally say, well, we got to sink to that level, but otherwise it's, you know, the proverbial bringing a knife to a gunfight. And that is the political age that we live in now. There were a lot of demands that people like Governor Evers, you know, try to do even more to blunt all of this Republican obstruction and things. The governor quite frequently took the high road. And John, were you working with did the governor recently do an interview or a town hall or something as he's starting to wrap up?
In this state, the Democratic Governors Association met. And they had a whole bunch of governors here in the state. And I had cuts from Kansas Governor Laura Kelly, Minnesota Governor Tim Walz, obviously Tony Evers, and a few other governors. But it was
fun. You want to play any of those back for us?
I put 3 hours in editing all of that stuff up, and I didn't save it.
Nice.
Oh, my. I must have replaced it with the next recording I wanted to edit up. So anyway, I don't have it. I'm going to go through the whole process again because it was really, really entertaining. And the thing here is that all these governors made their comments about gerrymandering. But when Governor Evers got up there, you know, Governor Evers always slips in one of those profanities that you just love to hear him say. I'm going to miss that when he's gone. I'm going to miss it. And all these governors, they smirked and they smiled when he said this this word. It wasn't a bad word or anything, but, he said he was pissed. And that drew a few smiles from the other governors.
Again, because the kindly governor uses a naughty word there.
Yes.
And, I mean, it's part of his shtick, and it works. But when you talk about, you know, losing things like that, and of course, we've all been guilty of that where something doesn't work right in the editing software or anything like that. But the story I think of most frequently that's related to that, and this goes way back now, when Sherry was in med school and we had a neighbor who was like taking graduate classes or something. She's a single mom. She's trying to, you know, take this class. And I get this knock on our apartment door at like 6 a.m. or something. And our neighbor, she's just tearful. And she's like, you know anything about computers? Yeah. Remember, computers still really new there in the mid-90s, early to mid-90s. and she had one of these early word processors. And I remember her showing it beforehand. She was so proud to have this word processor, and she was doing the whole thing. And she did an all-nighter working on this paper that was due. Mm. And she went to have it printed, and somehow it just deleted. The whole thing was gone.
No.
Oh. And it just, you felt, you know, because we've all had something like that, but never with stakes like that, where you've pulled an all-nighter and lose the whole thing.
I have a similar story to that, exactly. I had a little processor, and I did this entire article about the Women's Professional Baseball League. I interviewed a woman, and I had all of this stuff put together. I finished the article. It was fantastic. I went to print it, and bam, it all deleted out. I didn't have it again, and my wife is a writer. She said, you got to just retype it now. Just go at it again. I did, and I submitted it to the Capital Times here, the newspaper in Madison at the time. They were printing papers, and they made it their headline front page story. And they didn't make any edits. So,
wow.
Yeah, redoing it over immediately helps.
The second version must have been better than the
second version. Was probably darn good.
Actually, there is something to be said for that. Yes, you were able to make the revisions in real time.
Yeah.
And get it all done and not overthink it. Like, just get it done. Just bang this thing out. So, well, good on you guys. Yeah. John and Gordy, you can catch their show in Madison, either on the radio or through the Civic Media app. Look them up on the Civic Media website. And like everything else, you can catch back episodes as well. Guys, thank you so much. Hope you have a great start to the week.
Thank you, Pat.
Always a pleasure, Pat. Thank you.
All right. Good to see you. When we come back, we're going to talk to Sean Fedeplace from Main Street Alliance about small businesses and how they're getting impacted so far in these early months of the Trump presidency. I'm Pat Kreitlow. This is the Civic Media Radio Network. Welcome back. It's Monday morning. It's August 4th, 8:35 the time. I'm Pat Kreitlow here in Chippewa Falls. We'll be talking to Sean Fedeplace from Main Street Alliance coming up in just a sec. First, a reminder, you can sign up for our newsletter at upnorthnewswi.com. And this morning's edition, if you had missed the story earlier, the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention recently completed an investigation about how a pizza restaurant somehow had pizza dough that was laced with THC, the chemical in marijuana that gets you high. Turns out there was an ingredient mix-up as a result of sharing storage space with a licensed cannabis vendor. And the oil containing THC somehow got into the pizza place's dough and made several people feel not so good. Not the good kind of high, apparently. But you can read more about that in our newsletter. And as well, there's a feature on 10 historic buildings in Wisconsin that are older than Wisconsin itself, predating statehood, and those buildings are still with us. And Selena Heller has a report on childcare provider Corrine Hendrickson and her decision to close her doors, something that a lot of small businesses have had to deal with. The childcare crisis, the lack of action by the legislature to help small businesses like childcare centers, all that and more. Keep up with what we do over at upnorthnewswi.com. Sean Fedeplace is very familiar with all of this, working for Main Street Alliance. Sean, good morning. How are you doing?
I'm good. How are you doing?
Good, good. And again, you know, Corrine Hendrickson's story is one that we've been telling here for a while, but it's emblematic of child care providers around the state and small businesses around the state. Sean, this has not been an easy first, 6-7 months of the Trump administration for small businesses in Wisconsin.
That's right. On January 20th, the day after, the Office of Management and Budget dropped a bomb, which was that they were cutting grant programs all across the country. That impacted folks who are Head Start here in Dane County. It would have impacted 1,000 families, actually. But we also had a lot of members who were part of programs that benefited from government funding. And so that's been huge. We actually have now sued the administration 7 times because they keep breaking the law, whether it's federal layoffs. They've laid off huge amounts of the SBA staff. They're gutting our civil society, and we're fighting back. Our organization, our members like Corrine, who thank you for all you've done to highlight her story, really are working to make sure that we're holding the administration accountable, and we're holding elected officials like Derek Van Orden and Brian Steele accountable as well.
Yeah, because again, for folks that haven't, we haven't talked about Main Street Alliance for a while here, but you know, this is not your big business agenda here. And between, you know, a lack of access to health care, the child care crisis, rising tariffs, a lot of what's happening through the Trump administration may be good for, say, a Fortune 100 company, but their view of their workers and of what they need from government is not the same as what businesses on Main Street need. And that's a big part of Main Street Alliance's role, is reminding state and federal lawmakers that you've got a whole bunch of members that have a different mindset than the big boys on Wall Street.
That's right. And, you know, it wasn't small business owners standing behind the president like Jeff Bezos and Elon Musk and others during the inauguration. Apparently, our pocketbooks aren't big enough to be able to do that. And so our membership, we have about 2,000 members in Wisconsin, and they're being absolutely decimated right now, whether it's the tariffs or something that your listeners really need to be aware of, is that a lot of the bad stuff in the big, ugly law that passed, they essentially put the goodies on the front end, like the cuts, and then getting rid of benefits and stuff later on. Medicaid, for example, is one of those programs. However, the enhanced tax credits in the Affordable Care Act marketplace, where tens of millions of people get insurance in this country, those cuts are going into effect, open enrollments in November, and the actual cuts go into effect in January. And for many, many folks in the state, that's going to raise their premiums by as much as 97%. It's going to mean tens of thousands of people in our state losing coverage. And we're going to make sure that people know who's responsible for making that happen.
And it's good that you raise that point, that everything in the Trump mega bill is on its own different timeline. When these cuts happen, when these when all these things unfold, there will be ways throughout the coming years that will point back to this Trump mega bill as having that kind of an impact on them. And so that explains why you've been convening, you know, these forums across the country with small business owners, with advocates as well, to tell them that the mega bill may have been signed and everything, but that's no reason to just say, well, I guess that's it, and walk away. There's always action to be done, either to undo this or to fight for something else, right?
Yeah, I think that the first thing is that the Republicans, when they come back from their August vacation to D.C., they're already getting cold feet on some of these cuts on the Affordable Care Act marketplace, because they realize that if tens of thousands of people lose coverage in their districts, or if their coverage goes up by twice what it cost before, it's going to be very easy to point out who did that. Derek Van Orden is a perfect example. Because of the way the marketplace is done, more rural areas tend to get more generous subsidies for technical reasons. And so you could see folks see the premiums go up per year in this district by between $2,000 and $4,000 a year. And that is real money. That is money that folks will not be able to afford. And so looking ahead, I mean, that's going to be something that we're really going to pound the payment on. We've been organizing folks, not just in Wisconsin, but I recently went to Iowa, went to Minnesota. We have folks convening in Virginia, North Carolina, and Michigan, through our 1000 Main Streets program, to bring people together to learn about this stuff. And we actually do have a call tomorrow. If you go to mainstreetalliance.org and go to events, we have a briefing on the impact of the big ugly bill and what you can do to fight back. So we're working to make sure that folks are aware of what's happening and they know how to contact and impact their lawmakers. I can't hear you. You're muted.
Oh, that would help if I hit that mute button there. Once again, I was looking at the website, mainstreetalliance.org, which kept me from looking at my mute button over here, and noticing the approach to small business. Again, I think of like Governor Evers when he was doing his Main Street bounce back grants, that this was going directly to small businesses on the main streets across the country. And while those voices are small, there are so many more small businesses than there are the big ones. And it really is just a matter of helping all of these entrepreneurs understand that putting their voices together, they can fight for these things that should be higher priorities in Madison and in Washington. So you've talked about at the federal level, holding Brian Stile and Derek Van Orden, you know, to account for them. Does that include, I mean, will there be like public events, or is it more just outreach and asking people to, you know, write to their member of Congress and let them know their dissatisfaction with what's happening?
Yeah, so I would say, I'm not me, right? Okay. What I would say is for the two of them, to Brian's credit, he did hold a town hall. He got an earful the other day, but at least he held one. Derek is what might as well be the witness protection program. He doesn't show up for anything. And so, yeah, I definitely show up when people have public events. Write op-ed, write LTE, talk to the local media about how you're being impacted. If you get connected to us, if you get our website and sign up, we've been really at the forefront of the fight against the tariffs and against the healthcare cuts. Our members have been featured and seen by over 15 million people in the last couple months across the country on these issues. And so getting into the press, getting to be able to talk to them directly, and then getting involved in local elections. You know, there's going to be primaries. I know there's a primary in the third CD. Between Becca Cook, Emily, and Lisa, I believe it is. You know, get connected to somebody and, you know, show up and make your voice heard. And the case with Brian's district as well. So that's the thing I would say is that, like, letters and phone calls are great, but to be honest with you, neither of them really listen to those things. So you need to get out into the public sphere and really have them feel the political accountability for doing wrong by their constituents.
Yeah. And that's Emily Berge, Laura Benjamin, Becca Cook, yeah, are all running in the 3rd Congressional District Democratic primary at this point. We're talking to Sean Fedeplace from Main Street Alliance. You can learn more at mainstreetalliance.org. One of the discoveries that small businesses are making, some of them who had been, say, Trump supporters, was thinking that everything that they were saying about tariffs was somehow going to be good news for them because they're a small business. And if more people buy American because of the tariffs, it would be good for them. And I'm picking on one particular business, the Montana Knife Company, because their CEO was so, I think, illustrative of where we're at right now. Taking that view of, oh yeah, the tariffs are going to be great for small businesses, till you realize he's an American manufacturer. Yeah. But he's got to import the steel that he's using to make these knives, and suddenly realizing, oh, wait a minute, these tariffs are going to hit everybody in some way, shape, or form.
Yeah, he also asked for special treatment for his business, which I thought was pretty interesting.
Yes.
Considering that, you know, you look at Smoot Hawley, which arguably helped push us into the depression. You look at these current tariffs. One thing that was extremely frustrating for me in the early days of, like, post-Liberation Day and the sort of very chaotic, you know, very, I would say, impulsive announcements that have been made ever since with Bessent and Howard Lutnick cheerleading the president's economic illiteracy, is that the way this is being done is really dumb. These tariffs, like, there's a time and place for tariffs for national security reasons. China is a bad actor, and they've done a lot of things that are stealing intellectual property or other things, and there needs to be some accountability there. However, doing a carte blanche 30%, 50% tariff, a lot of profit margins, if you look at Walmart as an example, which is a very big business, right? They have huge production, huge scale. Their profitability is around 6 or 7%. And that has to be disclosed to shareholders. And so if they're only that profitable and you look at 30% tariffs, that the math doesn't math. And so what's been happening is that people have been selling existing inventory, and so they haven't had to jack up prices yet. And they're also in a wait and see period. And if you look at the jobs report that just got released last week, it showed essentially that part of the reason why the jobs data was not good is because so many businesses closed and didn't respond to the survey. And so that shows that this is having a huge impact. It's starting to show in the data, and it's only going to get worse as we head towards the holiday season.
Over at the Main Street website, the event that's most recently listed is Main Street Academy, How to Make Lawmakers Listen, scheduled for tomorrow. Looks like you're still taking signups for that if people want to learn more.
That's right. Anybody, whether you're a small business owner or an ally, all are welcome to join us on that call.
All right. Anything I forgot to ask about, Sean? I haven't talked to you for a while. I want to make sure I'm caught up on everything Main Street Alliance is doing here.
Yeah, I would just say that looking ahead as an organization, we always will be focused on policy and the things that impact our members. We are getting a lot more involved in the electoral process. We were involved in 5 state legislative wins last cycle. There's a real opportunity to get a trifecta in our state in 2027. I wanted to say kudos to the governor. That was not an easy decision for him, but I think ultimately it was his decision. And there's a huge slate of really great folks who are going to be running. So we're going to be working to engage those folks running for governor, running for lieutenant governor, running for state legislature over the course of the next few years to hopefully have a state government that prioritizes the needs across the government and not just in the governor's office for Main Street small business owners like the folks we serve.
It would be nice to see even better priorities in the next, the 2027 state budget. Sean Fetteplace from Main Street Alliance. Great to catch up with you, Sean. Thank you so much. I'm glad you were free today.
All right. Thanks, Pat. Take care.
All right. Yep. Have a great day. When we come back, we're going to talk to Jane Matinere about what's coming up on Matinere On Air, along with Greg Bach, weekday mornings from 9 to 11. That's followed by Tom Hartman. And then, of course, the Todd Alba Show from 2 to 4. And then Maggie Dawn from 4 to 6, Nightlight with Pete Schwabba in the evenings. So much reason to stick around here on the Civic Media Radio Network. I'm Pat Kreitlow. You're up north.
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
You might have heard Greg Bach earlier, first couple hours of the show while Parker was off, and now Dom has been filling in for the past hour, but Greg didn't go away. He's just prepping for Matinere On Air, along with Jane Matinere, coming up next year on the Civic Media Radio Network, and Jane is here now. Jane, good morning. How are you?
Good morning, Pat. Good morning, Dom. I am great.
Oh,
it's
you're
Monday and beautiful day in Wisconsin.
That's what we tell ourselves. We're doing great. It's Monday. We're fine.
Exactly. Yes, even if it isn't all good.
Even if it isn't entirely, because I don't know if folks are still familiar with the Winnie the Pooh story about, you know, having so much honey and then getting stuck in the hole trying to get out of his place, and then everybody has to push or pull Pooh Bear to get unstuck. You got a baby bird with a problem like that.
Okay, this is driving me crazy. So we have a light on the side of our garage door.
Sure.
Years ago, a robin built a nest on top of the light, which I thought was great until they hatched, and then they started dive bombing me every time I came out of the garage door.
No, oh, yeah.
I started coming out of the garage with an umbrella because they were just going until the babies left. Sure. So I put a little birdhouse up there that the robins couldn't fit in, and I thought, ha, I've foiled you. Well, now I have a bunch of sparrows that use that.
Okay.
This is my dilemma, Pat.
All right.
The birdhouse is shaped like an A.
Yes.
Okay? And the hole is in the front. And there's two little sides that are open. I have a baby bird who stuck his head out the side, not the front hole, and now he's stuck.
Instead of using the front door,
no.
Said, I'm going to try this thing out the side, and now is stuck like Pooh Bear with the honeypot.
Yes, and now he's stuck up the side of the garage. Mm-hmm. This kept me awake until 1 o'clock last night. So now when I get home, I'm going to get a ladder and climb up there and try and pull the birdhouse out without breaking the little furry bugger's neck. And then, I don't know, I'm going to have to try and saw the top off so he can get out. I don't know what I'm going to do with this thing.
I feel like we need a crossover episode here. If we could get Selena Heller back here with her cat Whiskers, we could maybe solve two problems at once. You know, Whiskers could have breakfast.
Aren't there agencies that do this? Yeah, isn't there someone I can call?
Yeah, but I don't know if they'll do it for a baby bird who, you know, made a poor choice after eating too many worms and couldn't figure out which door to use.
But I feel like I'm responsible, and I can't leave him up there because he's either going to strangle to death or he's going to die of starvation or something.
Uh-huh.
So this is what kept me awake most of last night.
Was Darwin the baby bird?
If he makes it, that's what I'll call him. His name will be Darwin.
Yes. All right. So that sounds like that was the highlight of your weekend, huh?
Pretty much. Okay. That was my... Am I the only one who worries about stuff like this? This literally kept me awake until 1 o'clock in the morning.
Worrying, maybe, but I mean, we've all had our little dilemmas. Mine happened with some flying squirrels, where we were taking down a tree, a mature tree, but it had aged. It had many holes that many critters were using. It had become a condo, basically.
Sure.
And it was getting to the point where it had to come down. So we had a local tree company come in because they do some other trimming because we have a lot of trees on the lot. And so they were going to bring down this old, practically hollow tree. And I get a knock on the door, and it's one of the workers saying, there is still a family of flying squirrels inside one of these. Do you still want us to do this? And my answer was, yeah, they don't pay rent. They're being evicted. It's time. So, but they took such great care. Instead of just chopping the tree down, they rigged it up because they had a bucket or whatever, bucket truck. And so they tied a strap around up at the top and then wrapped that strap around another nearby tree so that basically once they cut it at the bottom, they could very gently with that strap set it down. So as it's coming down, keep in mind, I did not even know we had flying squirrels until these guys said it. And out pops at least one of these flying squirrels, you know, and they open it up and you got the wingspan right on there. And they're pretty small. They're only like, you know, 5 inches, maybe something like that. And then down the bank, you know, toward the lake he goes and, you know, makes this, you know, it was very impressive. I'm like, okay, we have flying squirrels. Who knew? And so we thought, well, they said, what do you want us to do with the tree when it came down? And I was like, well, we'll just send it down the bank and just our luck. It's probably still a critter condo. It's
most
just
likely.
It's just horizontal instead of vertical. Now, I'm going to admit I didn't lose sleep about this, but I did get a good story out of it, knowing that we now have flying squirrels, you know.
Well, he's staring at me every time I go out to the garage. It's like, help me.
It's singling you out. Like
it is.
Hey,
it's like you.
Hey, landlord, I got a problem here.
I got complaints about this place. The side door, it's stuck.
Okay. Well, we'll be looking for that update from Jane later on. But meanwhile, she's got other things to do from 9 to 11 this morning. Like what?
Shelley Pittman, Civic Media's news director, is going to be joining us after 9:30. There is much going on. We're going to be kicking around some things, including voting rights. We're also going to be talking about the Corporation for Public Broadcasting that has announced that it will be shutting down now that the Trump administration has pulled out the funding from PBS. In hour number two, Pat, we'll lighten it up. We're going Beyond the Cheese with Amy Gorski from Poppy Bakery in Milwaukee. Beyond the Cheese, our segment where we like to highlight businesses outside of the dairy industry. And then we're going to wrap it up, as we always do, with This Shouldn't Be a Thing. Today it's the It's Your Worst Nightmare Edition.
Your worst nightmare edition?
Your worst nightmare edition.
All right.
And at 10:30 for Audio Sorbet, we might talk about saving wildlife in your backyard.
We just might.
Or not.
Or not, as the case may be. Right. Good luck, Darwin. We hope this goes as well as Melissa Kay's pigeon quest, rescuing
Cross
a pigeon.
Fingers.
You know, Jane, thank you so much. Have a great day.
You as well. Thanks a lot, Pat.
All right. Take care now. And so thanks to all of you for being a part of things today. Tomorrow on the program, I believe Dan Hagen will be back from vacation. And we'll also talk to a guest in our Way Up North segment from the Lake Superior area. Chad Holmes will be along as well to tell us more about what he's covering at 98.9 WXCO over there in Wausau. I'm Pat Kreitla, founding editor for Up North News. Up North News is the Wisconsin outlet for Courier, a pro-democracy news network, building a more informed, engaged, and representative America. Have a great Monday. We'll see you back here. I believe Parker Olson will join us as well, 6 a.m. here up north.
The national news cycle never stops, but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.